My name is Darren Hupke, and this is Pixels and Polygons.
A new show. This is one day late for those listening along. Apologize again, scheduling stuff. You know, when you do every aspect of it, if you just get a small day or a small afternoon where you just want to be a little bit lazy for a moment, those dominoes impact literally everything that you do. So, yep, sorry for the one day delay here, but I am back and it is going to be published and pushed and live as soon as I'm done recording this. So, hope you all enjoy it and welcome back for another week. This week we have two returning guests, some of the newer voices you have heard on the show, so nothing to kind of surprise you with or no new introductions to be had, but we are having the friends of the show, Luis and John, returning. So they are both here to continue some great conversation we had in our recording sessions, and the episode is a fun one. We tackle that this or that question. So these two were actually part of my first kind of trial phase for asking this question. I had originally intended to just pick one of the this or that's, and we spend the time to answer that question. So that's what we do here on this episode. It wasn't until the infamous Andrew Elmore decided to want to run a gauntlet system of that and had me ask those questions, you know, one after another to him, which I thought ended up being cool and entertaining as well. So that's what I continue to do when I had Jason on the show, and probably will continue to do if I or when I ask this question again. But it was still cool to like let the question breathe and dive into the specifics of it with both Luis and John. So I hope you enjoy the episode and have some fun listening along. And other than that, business, it's the same business up front. I do really want to encourage you all. You can help support the show, rate and review it on the podcast platform you're listening to it on. If you have an opportunity to visit my Patreon page, the links will be in the show notes. It is free to follow along. I've recently posted the first part of a kind of a retrospective on like my thoughts of like the Dreamcast and who killed the Dreamcast. I also have just recently posted a behind the scenes look at my next book, Beat 'Em Up Volume 1, which is separate from the 32-bit library books, but has been just as entertaining to make. So you can get sneak peeks at those things. That is what the Patreon page is for additional writings, additional retro gaming content from me, and you can follow along for free. If you enjoy all the stuff that I've been putting out and you want to find a way to do more, you can also join the paid tier of the Patreon, and there's a whole bonus show called Single Player that I put out, which this week was also a Dreamcast bonus episode. I may push that out to the free feed for the month, just to kind of throw everybody else a bonus to see what they have. But yeah, that's just stuff I've been doing. Other than that, next 2 weeks from now, I'll be at the Portland Retro Gaming Expo. My wife and I will be at booth 1111. We'll be selling the new 32-bit library volume 4. That'll be the first time it's been available physically in person. Kickstarter backers have been receiving their copies over the last couple of weeks, so they have theirs in hand, but that's when it will be on sale on Amazon. It'll probably be on sale, depending on how Brian wants to handle it, on retrogamebooks.com earlier than that. He'll have a first look window there, and then I'll have it in person for me at Portland. So I think that's it. Again, anything else will be in the show notes below. You can find any of the links there. Sharing the podcast with friends, sharing the links with friends, liking, rating, reviewing, all that stuff. That's just all I ask. That you, if you can find joy out of this, please do so. If not, I'll see y'all next week. Have a good one. Bye. Well, welcome back to another episode. I've got a new friend of the show, Luis, here with us from all of his various online
writing and shares and creativity. We've got the links again for all of his content there in the show notes and in the descriptions below to kind of check out. But Luis, while you're here, I want to get started with an icebreaker first before we dive into the big content. So what I want to know, what is your favorite vehicle or mode of transportation in a video game?
Oh, wow. You know, part of me immediately thought it's like, has to be a chocobo. But, you know, I don't know. I think the animal rights activist in me is like, do they enjoy that? Is that what they want? Or should chocobos be free? And then I feel guilty. So scratch that. The best mode of transportation, the one that everybody, you need to make sure that you call your congressperson, your representative in the U.S. or if you're in another country, I don't know the way that you go about that, do something similar. Pressure them to get research and development funds for has to be a musical instrument that teleports you to a destination. So maybe the ocarina from Ocarina of Time, where you do in front of a stone and then it gets you to wherever, or, you know, Wind Waker, the baton. I think a lot of Zelda games do this. And whatever other game you can think of that has a musical instrument that not only plays music, but then also gets you someplace. I mean, just think about it. One, how many more people would probably learn to play an instrument?
It's true.
Just because it's also a transportation device. It would save us a lot of pain. You know, when you turn on Spotify or somebody still, God forbid, listens to the radio or something, like where you hear these songs like, oh, this sucks. We probably wouldn't have that anymore.
Yeah, we'd be out enjoying the arts because we've all invested in them to perform and cut our travel times down.
It'd be beautiful. It'll be beautiful. I mean, we already listen to music as, you know, as we're traveling on a car, whatever, if you're commuting to public transportation or plane, you know, you probably have your earphones on, you're listening to something. This way, you're doing the same thing. It's just way shorter. You're there like in 5 seconds. And it's probably less dangerous than if you get a teleporter, because it's not, I don't know how the science would work on this, but it probably wouldn't be like redoing like your you know, your atoms and your whole like structure. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Because it's fantasy, right? In fantasy, you don't deal with science. It's just magic. So you would hope that magic doesn't do that to you. I could be wrong, though. I could just be an idiot here. But, you know.
The science of the magic is still out on that. Yeah. Yeah. That's a cool choice.
But if I had to choose, it would be the baton from the Wind Waker. Just because it's also a weapon. Theoretically, right? You can also probably just stab folks something in the eye at the very least to like get away and run. And also, you know, Cell Shade Link is like the cutest Link, so it's like, that's definitely, I can't go wrong there.
That's a good answer. That's a fun answer. I like that. All right, well, what do we got? We have we're gonna do the this or that challenge. So this isn't necessarily a specific question, but I'm going to give you two surprise options, something like Mario or Sonic. That's not the choice, but something like that. And you will have to definitively pick one, and the other will assume is going to be erased from existence and never obtainable or playable from you ever again. So this is a this or that choice. The two choices I'm going to give you today, based on what we've talked about in the past and kind of hearing a little bit about this, I hope this is a good challenge for you. This or that, Final Fantasy or Dragon Quest?
I thought this was going to be difficult. Come on, Dragon Quest. I mean, Final Fantasy is... it's okay. I'm not going to ridicule it too much because I know there's probably people in your audience that swear by it, you know, and I do. If there's anything that I am, is respectful and polite. So I'm not going to go there. But it's just Dragon Quest, it's probably the only game series that as one gets older, gets better, and one can continue playing them as well. Like, you're not, just being honest, like, nobody, you know, if you played Final Fantasy 15 when you were 15, when you're 70, you're not playing that game. I'm just sorry. If you're lucky to live that long, and with our bleak future with climate change and impending disaster, you're not going to play that. Now, you will play Dragon Quest V. You'll play Dragon Quest I. You'll play Dragon Quest III. If you're a sadomasochist, you'll play Dragon Quest II. You know, each their own. It's a timeless series. No pretension. Dragon Quest has no pretension whatsoever. The gameplay, even from its very inception, even though they've also refined it as they go along, it's just something that you just go to. You understand it immediately. And the character designs by the late, great Akira Toriyama just are some of the very best works of pop art out there. Monster designs also by Toriyama, incredible. The music is great. I'm not going to talk about the composer because I know he has a questionable history, but also rest in peace, but also incredible. It's the greatest video game series. I mean, I stand by that. You know, you can see me in the street and ask me, and I'll go to bat for Dragon Quest.
Interesting. Okay. This is where I was thinking you might go, and that's good. I think I personally, in the this or that spectrum of this question, would be picking Final Fantasy. And it's based off of just exactly like just this ingrained nostalgia of like, I was just that right age to play Final Fantasy VII for the first time. And yes, I know it's potentially overcredited and overhyped and overdiscussed, but it doesn't change the fact that the experience I had with it was amazing and one that I love to kind of go back and revisit and think about. I am somebody who is just hungry to find that entry point into Dragon Quest, and I really want to know and figure out what that best spot is. So I think this is, selfishly, I would love to maybe kind of ask and kind of pick your brain a little bit on that. I have played a little bit of 8 on the PS2. Unfortunately, Square Enix packaged in a demo for Final Fantasy 12, and I was like more inclined to kind of try out what that next big thing was going to be. And I never really was that big of a Final Fantasy 12 fan at the end of the day. But I didn't really put much time into 8. When 9 came out in the DS, I did play a good chunk of that. I want to say probably 8 to maybe 10 hours or so. And I did enjoy it, but just I didn't quite get the hooks in me on that. I did recently purchase 11. Digitally, and I started up and completed that introduction like dungeon that you start out at, and I did enjoy what I had there, and I just kept thinking I will come back to this, and I have not come back to it yet. But is there one that's, you know, that you would recommend as like maybe your favorite or like the cream of the crop from the Dragon Quest series that you would recommend a new player try out? Or is there one that like you think I should maybe give a second chance to and try again that I have already tried? But what are your thoughts on that? Like, what do you think is the go-to Dragon Quest option?
Yeah, this is a good question. First, I do understand what you're stating about Dragon Quest VIII and the packaging with the demo, which I'm gonna say the truth here. Final Fantasy XII is the best Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
Now, to answer your question, though, it's definitely, I would say, usually there's a lot of different ways one can go about it when starting Dragon Quest. Usually, though, the most recent Dragon Quest should be the starting point, in my opinion, because okay, that's the one that has the most, quote-unquote, quality of life improvement. You know, it's the most in tune with the most like modern and up to date like sensibilities when it comes to like, you know, players and all these things, like what people are used to with more modern video games. I would also say One. So either Dragon Quest One or whatever is the most current game. The most current one now being in the mainline series being Dragon Quest XI. Dragon Quest XI S, Echoes of the Elusive Age. That's like the most up-to-date edition. I recommend that. That's an incredible game. I would say this, more importantly than like which game one plays first, it's how one plays a Dragon Quest. I know that we're used to playing games for a long extended period of time. So that's not how you should play a Dragon Quest. You should play it maybe 30 minutes to an hour or even less per session. My friend Tim Rogers always says that the best way is to play like right after bedtime. I mean, right before bedtime, excuse me. So like, you know, you've eaten, you've showered, you're just like waiting for sleep to settle in. Just sit down, play it. And it becomes, I know a lot of the modern games, especially after 5, have become fairly long, but if one plays it that way, it becomes almost like reading like one of those like big like world literature books. Like if you're reading like, you know, the tale of like Genji or Toy Story's like War and Peace, it becomes something that you read a little bit of and it takes you a little bit, but you grow accustomed to the experience. It becomes part of like your routine, and then when you're done, you actually miss it. And that's the best way of playing Dragon Quest. I mean, and it's set up that way too. It's not just like you're putting that on yourself to enjoy the game. Like the games are structured that way. Very few games do the actual aspect of short play sessions like Dragon Quest. You play, you might do, okay, I'm going to get to this town, I'm done. Or you might do a short story segment, which are all brilliantly, you know, executed and also paced. If you're like me, if you really want the challenge, I would say Dragon Quest 7, because that's the one that's the most Dragon Quest of all Dragon Quest games. But I could understand that takes refinement, you know, so you need to develop your palate to really get there, you know.
Gotcha.
Something like Dragon Quest 7, but 11 or 1 would be my recommendations.
Mm. Yeah, okay. I had I previously shared with you the story of my sealed copy of Skies of Arcadia on GameCube. I also was a huge DS fan, and so I was often buying a lot of games just to like put in my backlog and like I will get to them. And I purchased all those DS re-releases of 4, 5, and 6 for Dragon Quest. And had them sealed, sitting on my shelf, you know, with a number of other like DS games and great games and everything. I never cracked those seals, never got those open to play them. Ultimately sold them for not much, you know. And
oh my God, you're killing me, man.
Yeah, I know. And I'm really, really, really excited for that new Dragon Quest 3, that HD 2D like style one. Like that one, I cannot wait for. I have recently fallen back in love with like the RPG. Well, I mean, I've never fallen out of love with it. Just as I've become an adult and then now a parent with children and like working full time job, like I just don't have as much time to play games as I used to. So like, I just thought for sure, like my attention span, like, no, I want to play like a bunch. I want to dabble in a little bit here and there. Now I've been so hyper focused to like, you know what? This is the game I'm playing right now. I am not going to buy another game or start up another game until I finish this or decide that I'm not going to return to this. But like, I want to get the most out of, you know, what I'm playing, what I'm doing, everything. So, a couple years back, like I played Persona 5, and then that led into like last year playing like Star Ocean Second Story R and Octopath Traveler 2. And there's more. I've played like a few more. I'm blanking on them.
Those are all great games. Second Story R, that's a great game. I actually put that in my best games of the year list for last year.
Oh yeah,
that came out. That's like, yeah, that's might be one of the very best.
Yeah, I kept grinding RPG away at that and got that platinum trophy for it too right before New Year's, so I was able to get another platinum on my. I don't do that a lot either, but like as I, you know, as I've been in this older mindset for myself where I'm like wanting to make sure I wring out every last drop, because once I move on, I'm not likely to go back to it. I was like, you know, I'm gonna see this one through. This has been entertaining. So, but yeah, after Octopath Traveler 2 and like that visual style, like I loved like modern like quality of life improvements to like gameplay, like a quicker battle system and everything. I really like that, thought that was made it really easy to really indulge myself and play that. So I'm hoping that that new Dragon Quest will have, and from what I've seen, like the battle system is pretty quick, and you know, it'll allow you to kind of like be immersed and enjoy, like whether I am going to just sit there for 30 minutes and kind of grind around, or like focus a little bit more on the story, or look for some secrets and hidden stuff. Like I'm that's probably my most anticipated game. I'm looking forward to playing outside of the Suikoden 1 and 2 like remastered collection, whenever that's going to finally launch. Like I was hoping that was supposed to be this year, but who knows anymore. But yeah, those two things, I cannot wait to try. So I'm looking forward to giving Dragon Quest its fair shake.
Well, 3 is a good, I mean, 3 is definitely a good one to start with as well. So when that, yeah, I'm definitely, that's my most anticipated game of the year. And that's one that I will drop everything for once it happens. Like, yeah, definitely looking forward to that.
Does that one have the like monster capturing like mechanics in it? Isn't that a there was a Dragon Quest title that did do that like pre Pokemon actually?
Yeah, that's Dragon Quest V does that.
Okay, okay, cool.
Yeah, that. No, I mean I don't know if they're gonna add anything to that, but no, not three does not. Three does not have that. It does have. It's the first one to introduce like the class system,
oh, cool.
Which. You know, Final Fantasy ripped off. Just, you know, that's another thing.
It innovated, just,
Dragon,
innovated and iterated upon. It took something good maybe better. You know, I don't know. You know,
maybe in Final Fantasy V, but not 3. 3 didn't. 3 oh, didn't yeah. definitely. And 3 didn't innovate on that. But yeah, 5 definitely. And you know, the greatest one, 12. I mean, if you've played the Zodiac Age one, it. It's incredible. No, 3, it's gonna be good. Yeah, I played it. I got a Square Enix, like I was at an event and I got to play, and it's fantastic. But it's also like it's one of those things that's definitely for me, you know. Yeah. Like I just gushed about the series, you know, earlier, and it's, yeah, I'm just so excited. And I really do believe, though, that those are games that age extremely well. Because, like I said, there's no pretension. 3 is very much, you know, it has an interesting story. I mean, compared to, like, a lot of the stuff now, yeah, it's, like, bare bones. But that helps it because it's written well. It's charming. It's funny. It has enough twists and turns to keep you engaged, but it doesn't have like these like insane like plot twists or all this like exposition, which oftentimes when you actually start thinking about the game's narrative, you're just like, wait, that doesn't make any sense, you know, that just puts you off from it. Like what happens with a lot of these RPGs that you replay now, you're like, you've enjoyed it as a child, but then you replay them now and you're like, oh, this story kind of sucks. You know, like you can't relate, you know, it's not enough that it's just like a story about stopping, you know, the end of the world from happening, etc. You know, it's, those aren't really issues that you have with Dragon Quest, because it's never about the ending. It's about the journey along the way.
I'm intrigued. Yeah, I feel like I've always been somebody who would enjoy the games. I've just not been able to get myself at the right space or right moment to just commit to it. So I think this is the year, 2024, the year that I finally am able to become that Dragon Quest fan. All right.
I believe in you.
Yeah, thanks. You know what I also need, though? I want a PS5, like, Hori slime controller. I love that PS2 version, and I'm seeing that they've done those for, like, the Switch and even PS4. I like that bulbous obtuse ridiculous controller that you display on the bottom side of.
All right, I'm gonna be in Japan in the fall for 'cause I'm going to cover the opening of the Nintendo Museum. If I see one of those, I'll get you one.
Yes, thank you. You will be...
If the currency exchange is still the same, you don't even have to worry about. Oh, it's just be a gift.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Let's go. All right, Luis. Well, that's awesome. This was another fun episode. I love chatting with you. These have been some great episodes you've been on. So we'll definitely have you on more in the future. Listeners, please check out the links in the show description below. Check out his content and his writings. I appreciate chatting with him. So unless you have anything else, we will say goodbye for the episode.
No, just, you know, enjoy. Hey, play some Dragon Quest. And, you know, you won't regret it.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, Luis. Thanks for joining me here. This is everyone. This will be a first-time guest. We're recording a couple of sessions here with my friend John. He's my neighbor, actually, but he also does his own podcast and stuff. So I'll give him a chance to kind of introduce himself, and then I'll ask him an icebreaker question. So, actually, yeah, John, if you want to do just a little brief intro for yourself, we can do it on both sides of it. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what brought you to gaming, and maybe do a little plugs for yourself, and then once we're done, I'll give you the icebreaker.
Oh man, I thought that was the icebreaker. All right, well, no. Let's move into it then.
Yeah.
No, it's all good. So my name's John. I am one half of the Game Deflators podcast. We are of course, gaming podcast, but we also focus on things like Dungeons and Dragons, Magic the Gathering, tabletop, really anything you can think of. But our primary focus is on video games. Each week, we take about a 30 to 45 minute look at a video game. We'll dive into it, my co-host and I, and we essentially go over some of the key basic things that you would go through in like a demo. So is the video game, like, graphically, does it kind of appeal to you? Are you getting that immediate, okay, cool, I really want to play this moving forward type of vibe coming from it? How does it control? Just general things that would really get you from that phase of, you know, kicking that game on to like, all right, cool, I'm hyped to continue playing. And so when we do that, we decide, is a game inflated in price or deflated based on what it's selling for? So essentially, if a game is of value and we think it's worth grabbing, we'll typically say that it is deflated. It should be a higher price point. And if it's inflated, we feel it should be lower. Social media wise, you can find us on thegamedeflators.com, our currently out-of-date website, whenever you listen to us. You can also find us on YouTube. We're on there as Game Deflators. You can also find us on Twitter or X, at Game Deflators, and Instagram, Facebook, and Threads at The Game Deflators. As far as what got me into gaming, I would say, really, since I was a kid. I grew up with cousins that had Nintendo systems. I had an uncle that had an NES as well at his home. And so whenever we'd go over there, we'd play some, the name of the game. And so we'd play that. We'd play some Mario Bros. When I'd hang out with my cousins, we would end up playing Super Mario Kart and Super Mario as well, and some Mortal Kombat. So just growing up, I've always been around video games as long as I can remember. And, you know, that kind of spiraled into, you know, playing Super Nintendo, PS1, things of that nature over the years. And then when I hit college, it was interesting. I went into like this little bit of a lull where I wasn't really playing a ton of games. And it was just about after that when I started getting a little money coming in, I got back into collecting. So it's been probably about 10 years now. And through that, actually more than 10 years than I think about, geez. But through that, I've been building up a pretty extensive collection of video games. So Darren, you saw that when you came over a while back.
Oh yeah.
And so we essentially pull games off of my shelf, and that's what we do our inflation deflation based off of. But I'm still picking up new games here and there. I do buy collections from time to time, spanning, as I said earlier, Magic cards, D&D stuff, Lego, video games. So it's a little bit of everything, to be honest.
Yeah, right. I have been fortunate enough to be a guest in the show. We met at one of the local conventions out here to where we're at. And I've done a couple episodes of the Game Deflators myself. So definitely add that to your queue if you're looking for more gaming-related podcasting, for sure. It's always a good time.
Yeah, that moment was interesting. Coming together at the event and finding out that we lived like literally 2 minutes away from each other.
Yeah. Yeah. If there wasn't the wash right there, it would, you know, be connected through residential streets.
For sure.
The icebreaker. So this is the thing that'll get your head scratching. What is your favorite animal companion from a video game? I asked these to get people to kind of like try and, you know, get an idea of who you are and what your kind of gaming tastes are and everything. So, and all of gaming, what is your favorite animal companion?
Oh man, chocobo. We'll go with that one.
Mm. No one has said that yet, actually, and that's a solid one for sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's something about it. Like, it consistently through the Final Fantasy series, I forget when they first came into play, but that's like the iconic animal for that franchise, right? So I have a lot of fond memories of raising multicolored chocobo and racing in Final Fantasy VII, and then from there it just kind of continued on.
Yeah,
so that would be my answer for you. Not as big of an icebreaker as I thought it was gonna be for me. You almost had me though.
All right. Well, for this episode, we want to pull out a question out of the this or that hat. I don't know what I'll officially call that, but this is kind of like a fun, newer style question. I haven't been able to ask this a lot, so I'm glad that you picked this out when you were thinking about, you know, coming on doing the show. So I'll give you two things, you know, two specific choices, this or that, and then you just pick one. And, you know, what one speaks to you, what one stands out to you, and then we'll just kind of talk about, like, you know, why is it that you chose that one? Is it just a personal attachment, just the history of it's the background that's related to you, whatever it may be? So that being said, for this or that, I'm going to do, I think this is, you know, the evergreen version. This is like the 90s gamer version of it, but Mario or Sonic, which one do you prefer?
Don't let him fool you, folks. He actually has a top hat with all of these questions in there that he pulls out. So it is the this or that hat. So I would have to say Mario. I mean, hands down, for me, like that's, yeah.
Yeah.
So, without a doubt.
The, when is your, so you say Mario, hands down, it's that easy for you. What was the earliest like Mario experience? What's the thing that really just kind of sold you on Mario in general?
So I think what it was is when I was younger, it was actually the difficulty of playing Sonic versus Mario. So Mario to me, when I was a kid, was much easier to pick up, go through a level. It felt like you were progressing. Whereas Sonic, there was just a lot going on. I mean, you could end up in various tunnels underneath a level in water or above, and there just never seemed to be like a true rhyme or reason as to what the heck was actually happening when I was growing up. And even today, it's kind of the same deal for me, right? I'm just honestly not a huge fan of Sonic games. So Mario for sure on that, as far as when I was a kid, and then even today, I still enjoy a good Mario game. Some of the levels can be challenging, even as an adult, and there's just something about it, you know, like Sonic, I just never really grasped me as like that family friendly, fun character growing up. It was just always, you know, Sonic was kind of the big tough guy and Sega was always like trying to punch their way through into the home. Right. Whereas Mario just felt like that standard in gaming. So that would be for sure my selection there and why. But you know, when I think about the Sega Genesis versus the Super Nintendo, it's still a solid console, regardless, right? And I actually enjoy collecting Sega Genesis games over Super Nintendo games because of like the clamshell case and things of that nature.
Yeah, I love those cases. And they're, I mean, just having that hard shell, like, you know, plastic and everything, like it just felt more durable. And I like their like spine design and everything like that. There was like a real uniformity to it and everything. Yeah, I did like that. I was a Genesis household. We did not have a Super Nintendo, my brother or I, growing up. And it was always, you know, like Sega. Like, I did enjoy the Sonic the Hedgehog games. But on the NES, like, obviously, like, Mario, like, 1 and 3 are, like, top tier, like all time favorites for sure. And Mario Worlds is like one of the best games, you know, for sure as well. I just, the Sonic, like, it was always weird to me how that was this rivalry. It was just like the mascot rivalry, really. Like, even I think the diehard of diehard Sonic fans, like, I think they have to know those games just aren't as, like, well-designed or as, like, timeless in feeling as, like, Mario games are. Like you said it, like, the way the level design is sometimes, like, the purpose of the game, like, going fast, and you think scrolling left to right and going fast would be somewhat cool, but the games also had a verticality to them, so you never knew when you just kind of hit a wall and think, I guess I have to go up or down or find a way around here that, you know, isn't quite as, like, intuitively laid out. And, and those, like, anxiety-inducing underwater moments where you start to run out of breath and it plays that, like, real tense music always just gave me, like, a heart attack as a kid. Like, it just wasn't a fan. It's just... I get people having fun with them, and I get people like enjoying the Sonic games. There is some entertainment value there for sure, but it is not really like it's more of the mascot fight and less about the games to me when people choose like Mario or Sonic.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. And it's not like I didn't grow up with a Sega in the house either, so I do kind of want to, you know, get that out there too. So my first console was a Super Nintendo when I was growing up, and but I did play NES, of course. But my experience at that time of Super Nintendo and Sega was virtually at the same time. I had neighbors that had Sega Genesis when we were growing up, so we'd go over to a neighbor's house and we would play over there. And that's where I had my first experiences with Sonic, and we're like, man, this just isn't as good. And I remember a lot of that. And then one of my cousins actually had a Sega Genesis, and we found ourselves playing Black Bass on the Genesis over Sonic and Carnage. Those are the games that we preferred to play over Sonic. And, you know, and then of course we get home, play Super Nintendo.
Yeah, that's how it works. Let's take the angle then of this before we end the question. But from a design and a character standpoint, do you like the slightly high BMI plumber and overalls look of Mario, or do you think this like blue hedgehog with an attitude and like cool shoes is the cooler design? Like, you know, what from a visual standpoint do you prefer?
So I will tell you, I played as Luigi in a lot of those games whenever I got the opportunity.
Slightly leaner and healthier. Yep.
Slightly leaner and healthier, does have a better jump to him. So I always enjoyed playing Luigi over Mario. That said, even looking at it today, yeah, I would say Sonic for sure is a cooler looking character. And that's one that growing up, you'd look at and say, man, yeah, like I want a Sega. I want to play Sonic. But then when you actually boot up that game, it's like, you know, okay, maybe I do want to play Mario instead.
Yeah, there's an energy to it, and I think, like, I can specifically think of the Sonic Adventure 1, like, Dreamcast cover, and, like, that cool art style that Sonic, you know, evolved into himself. Like, that's a game I want to play, but then, like, playing the game, it doesn't fulfill that same kind of visual excitement that the character design kind of, you know, entices you to feel, but...
And then you start throwing in characters like Knuckles, right? Like Knuckles is a badass character for sure. And then, of course, later on, you had Shadow and all these other characters thrown in as well. So it's always been cool to see the progression of his characters and that Sonic world build out. Unfortunately, it's without a Sega console in place. But, you know, when it comes to the later games, I actually enjoy those quite a bit. You know, that kind of, I don't know what to call the game style, but it's not that side to side Sonic view. It's more of that, you know, straight, like you're just ahead of you what's happening. And I just always, when it comes to Sonic, I like that style of Sonic over the side scrolling. I feel that to me is, it's easier to manage. It's just, I don't know, the playability is just better for those games. And at times I kind of prefer it over Mario, some of the newer stuff. But really at the end of the day, Mario is still superior.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. The Sonic is cool, and the mascot wars were a thing in the 90s, but I'm also on Team Mario as well. Rad. Well, thank you, John. That is going to kind of wrap it for this segment for this question. We'll definitely
be hearing more from you in the future. Anything you want to leave people listening with, like anything to look forward to on your show, or do you want to plug your social media stuff again? Any last words?
Yeah, I mean, just keep an eye on what we have going on. Pending when you hear this episode, we may or may not be doing video at that time for our podcast. So we'll be on YouTube doing a little bit more, trying to do some more playthroughs and stuff placed on there as well. So like and subscribe to the channel. It'll be great for us to, you know, continue to grow that content out. And then the podcast, we've got over 300 episodes of backlog. So check it out. There's a lot of good stuff, a lot of special guests. We've had voice actors on there, developers. I'm actually working for getting another developer on right now for an upcoming episode, episode 301, most likely. So lots of cool things on there. So definitely check it out, like, subscribe, check out the podcast, and definitely would appreciate it. And of course, just find us at The Game Deflators or at Game Deflators on pretty much all social media out there. If we're not on there, let us know and we can jump on it too.
Right. All right. Well, thank you, John.